Christmas.
Shopping. Presents. Money.
Jesus, yeah, that too. But isn't it so much about what it costs? I mean, is it not hilarious when you go to the store, the number of things and numbers and calculations you are doing in your head? And I know for some of you that's not now. I know I've seen it on Facebook, you know, when people are typing like, so glad I got all my shopping done by July. Great. But it's amazing how we incorporate the sales and the manipulation. And I'm not making this big Christian, oh, the corporate world has taken over Christ's stance and all that stuff. That's for another day, another time. I'm talking about simply the cost and how we look at things. And both negatively and positively are influenced. Like the other day I was at Macy's, and I almost bought a $39 mortar and pestle for like herbs and stuff because it was 80% off. It was still $40, you know? I mean, praise God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I'm like, what are you doing? And I just
had to walk away.
Or when they make you, like I said, do math. Buy one, get one, 50% off. And you're like, all right, hold on, it's 50% off. So that's 25% off, but you have to buy. And then heaven help you if you're the one that went up to the front saying, no, it's buy one, get one. And they're like, oh, no. No, buy one, get one. Because it's in like, they were too fat at the bottom. And then you're like, and there's people behind you, you can hear them breathing. You know that? And you're debating, like, do I just tell them no? Because then I look like that person. But then they worry about cost impacts everything we do. And you know what? That's true for Christmas shopping. And guess what? It's also true in our journey with Christ.
There is a cost involved.
And we've been deconstructing the journey of Joseph, of Mary, and even the shepherds. And we're looking at their journey in the Christmas account of what has happened in the birth of Jesus. We're taking it down and looking at it into little pieces, and then looking at our own journey with God and comparing them and seeing what can we learn from their lessons and what they went through and what we have. We looked first at the calling, and we realized that really everybody gets a calling. God is calling you to do something, to reach someone, to meet a need somewhere. And then last week we looked at the commitment. You can be called all you want, but are you going to commit to it? And this week we look at the cost, because I would be quite remiss if I did not forewarn you that following God's calling, well, there's a cost involved. And so we're going to look at that this morning as we look into God's word. But before we do that, we're going to pray. God, thank you again for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can learn from something that happened 2,000 years ago as if it was today, and that you will change our lives because we have looked and followed your word. So I pray that your words would be loud, mine would be quiet. I pray that each person's heart here would be still, their mind would be fixated on you, and we would leave here differently because we have heard from you this morning. We love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. Open your Bibles or the Bible in your pew, or don't, to Luke chapter 1. But as you do that, I'm going to talk about the shepherds, because we're not going to read about them today. The shepherds were out in the field, and they heard from God that Jesus was born. And they're the only ones out of Joseph and Mary and the shepherd who really had no cost with what they did. Because they went and they're like, that's awesome. All right, let's go. That's it. There's no negative repercussion. But here's the deal. If we're going to be really honest, they actually didn't get a calling. They just got an announcement. God said, you know, glory to God in the highest and peace. Say go get him. He didn't say go and walk with him. And so they didn't really have a calling, so there really wasn't a cost. They were told about something amazing, so they went to see what it was all about, and they were very blessed by that. But you know what I liken that to? The Christian, nay, the churchgoer, who goes to church every Sunday. Maybe not, maybe every other Sunday. But the person that goes to church, and they say, oh, it's great. You should see what we're doing at the church. The church is doing great things. What are you doing? I get to hear all about it. I see great mighty things. Oh, really, what's your role? Oh, I praise God for what they did. You know, I give every month. I give to the church. I do. God is showing them great things, and they're coming and they're watching. What's it cost them? Nothing. About an hour of their time. But they don't get to do much. There's not much there. Sure. They're part of the story, but they're just watching the story. So what does it cost them? Nothing. What do they really get out of it? Not much.
What's it cost Joseph and Mary to follow their calling?
Quite a bit.
Chapter 2. Sorry if I said wrong. Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken to the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who he was pledged to be who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Did you hear that?
He was pledged to be married, was not yet married. She was what? Expecting a child. We know this to be Jesus.
I don't know if you're aware of this culture in this day, but having a baby out of wedlock,
not really thought too highly of.
The fact that they had not had relations and she's pregnant, also not a good thing for Joseph. There is a social risk for them
to do this. They are looked at differently. If you decide to commit to the calling God has placed in your life, there is a social risk. You will be marked as different. And I don't mean hopefully, because you're walking around saying, I'm a Christian, I'm here to save you. Okay, don't be that person. I will mark you. Okay?
I don't know how. With my foot, probably.
But people are going to see you as different. They may talk differently around you. They may not say things around you. They may stop a conversation around you. You may not be invited where you were always invited before.
You are seen as different. There is a social cost for Joseph and Mary. An extreme one for them, but for us. When we decide to commit to the calling God has put on our life, there is a social cost. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Here they are traveling. They've got to go. They committed to this. And now they're physically not comfortable. You know, you're not supposed to be going to many places in your third trimester. But yet Mary does. Comfortable? No. You know, she's not going in a nice, you know, sedan or a nice car. No, at best it's a donkey, you know,
camel, depending on which picture you buy.
And then they go, and there's no room at the inn. Is there anything more famous, I think, than, you know, there was no room in the inn? And there's all these different theories. Well, it wasn't really a manger, it was a cave.
It was actually the first floor of a typical dwelling where the animals resided.
You know what it wasn't? Maybe it wasn't hospital. Okay? No matter what, it was probably physically uncomfortable.
It was not like a nice water birth.
You know, it was a sand birth. You know, those are not comfortable. I don't know if you know this.
And little known fact, after the first service, Joseph? Joe came up to me and he goes, two questions. What's water birth? What's a sand birth?
There is a physical cost in following Jesus Christ, and following what God has called them.
They experienced it greatly. Let's go a little bit forward. Verse 25. They presented Jesus at the temple. They're doing all the right things. They're supposed to. You bring them to the temple, you present them to God. Good deal. They're just walking in their calling, doing what they're called to do. Verse 25. Now this is in the temple. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him. Stop.
Here you are. You are Mary. You are Joseph. You gave birth to Jesus. You have fulfilled the calling God has placed on your life. You have seen amazing things. And now you are just doing what you're supposed to do. And you bring your brand new baby into the temple. And you're thinking, this is going to be great. We're going to have everybody wearing the white dresses. And they have, you know, the banquet hall for afterwards. And it's all exciting. And here they go. And they bring him in. And here comes old man Simeon, who's just waiting to die. And what does he do? He takes the baby. Okay? He takes it. Ah!
I mean, I'm sure it was a lot of guys on the Simeon. I already done and never tried.
He's excited. He's overcome with joy that finally I get to die and go to heaven. Here is the baby. He takes him from Mary. I don't think he had squirted antibacterial fluid to make sure that he was okay. I think he had a burpee or whatever thing that you know, you're supposed to hold him on.
How frightening. Again, socially awkward, but frightening it is when we follow what God has called us to do. But Simeon takes him in his arms and he praises God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. Mind you, he's holding your child like this while he's saying these things. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simon blessed them. Stop.
They're scared. He takes their son. He lifts them up. He reinforces everything they've been told by the angel of the Lord. Here is who he is. Oh, good, there's confirmation. It's all good. He is going to be a light to the Gentiles. Salvation to your people. You're not well up with pride. A minute ago, you're freaking out. Now you're proud. You got that little fog tear coming down.
And he blesses them. And he says to Mary, the mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too.
If you decide to follow whatever God puts on your heart, if you say yes and you commit to it, there is the cost of emotional stability. Because you will be here, you will be here. You will have great moments, and you will have terrible moments. They just went through it in 30 seconds. He's going to cause the rise and fall of many. Oh, and your heart is going to be pierced as well. When we get in with God,
when we follow the calling he places on us, all bets are off. Everything you want to control is gone. It's the wild west of emotions, and you're going to experience them all just like they did. There is immediate cost when you decide to follow God. There are continuing costs like we have just experienced, but there's even other costs. Go backwards to Matthew. There's residual costs. Specifically, would help you. Chapter 2. When they decided to go ahead and have Jesus as a child, there were immediate costs. They had to explain to people what was going on. There were continuing costs of their comfort, their emotional stability, security. But now we look at what else happens when we decide to follow calling God places on our life. The wise men have come already. This is spoiler alert. You know, down the road, the wise men come and they visit with Jesus. And it's been amazing. And they bring gifts and they give glory to God. And it's all good. We pick it up here in verse 13. It says, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Okay, this is still their continuing costs, but you're not guaranteed physical safety. You know, some people say one of the greatest, well, they say this a lot, and it's really wrong. The safest place to be is where? In the center of the will of God. Wrong. If we're looking from an earthly perspective, that's a terrible thing to say. Or every martyr, I mean, from Stephen to people today, apparently they weren't in the center of the will of God because they weren't safe. Bunch of
bad words. You're not safe in the center of the will of God. You're in the most dangerous place in the world because the enemy's coming after you. No, you are safe in that you're doing the will of God. I want to be on that team. Amen? Amen. Thank you. But your physical safety, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If God's goal is for me to be happy, he's failing, and God does not fail, so it must not be his goal for us to be happy all the time or to be comfortable all the time. Here they are. Magi are here. It's a great time. And all of a sudden, oh, by the way, the king, he's trying to come in to kill you. Better skedaddle.
So, and I appreciate Joseph's obedience. He's a good man. He got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Because Joseph and Mary decided to walk in the calling that God placed on them, babies were killed. We don't like to talk about that at Christmas time. Where's the snow falling? Where's the happy, happy, joy, joy? Now, what we need to realize is God's in control of that too. See, too, you don't see Joseph and Mary saying, well, we don't know that they even find out about that. But there's no weeping and gnashing of teeth. They did what they had to do. And there are other repercussions. I think in our world today, if we do something and there's a lot of bad repercussions, we assume everything we did was wrong. Now, that's not a free pass to not look at what you did and maybe be wrong. Okay, I just want to put that out there real quick. But there's other things that happen when we decide to follow the calling that's on our life. Things we can't control. But that isn't a reason to not do it, because God's in control of that too. Each and one. Poor Rachel's children. Guess what? God loved Rachel. And I'm sure he cared for her and sent people to be with her. God is much bigger than anything we have. Satan uses that fear so that we don't. And so there are external costs involved with following God. And you're probably sitting here right now going, Jay, you're not selling me on this whole thing. I'm not real excited about following the calling God has put on me. I want you to be committed to it. Not be excited about it. I want you to be committed and know what you're getting into. And you know what? There's future costs as well. We only hear about Joseph a little bit more. You know, when they lose baby Jesus or young Jesus in the temple and they leave him there by mistake. But Mary, we hear about a lot more, and certainly she sees what happens to Jesus. It's not good. Imagine that pain. Imagine her remembering that angel all the way back in the day. There are costs, and we have to know them. But I will summarize this. Once you decide, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow that call. God, I don't know what all the costs are, but I know you're going to be there. I'm going to do it. If once you do it in one avenue of your life, I'm going to tell you this, you can't go back. You can't go back. Once you put your faith in God and you say, I'm going to do it, I'm not saying you're not allowed to go back, I'm saying it's impossible. Once you have risked and even failed, and then you get up and you go, oh, what was that? You can't go back and maintain it. It just doesn't work because you've experienced that wild west of faith. It's impossible to go back to that safe, ignorant place from that person that just comes into church and goes, that was great. Good thing. Bye. They're blissfully ignorant. But once your eyes have been opened to the spiritual world, the spiritual realm, and the warfare that's going on, and you realize you're on a team, you can't go back. So please know that. Please know there is a cost. I think we've covered that. But lastly, I want you to know this. If you decide that cost is too great, I don't want to risk that, I'm going to say no, there's a cost to that as well. Imagine if you looked at every Christmas present this year and you said, whew, a little steep. I'll wait until January. And on Christmas morning, everybody opened their non-gifts. Oh, the memories we'd have. There's a cost to that. And you know what? We do that spiritually. Oh, I could go do that, but I don't know.
Oh, I could help that person, but that might be awkward. Oh, I could send them a check, but no, I wouldn't have that money. I'll just say, I'll pray. Yay. The cost of not doing. I'm here to tell you it's greater than the cost of doing because there's no benefit. And so I encourage you to incur that cost. I encourage you to really get with God and say, okay, God, I'm ready. What are we doing? I'm not so bold as to think that we all have this clear calling. Ask him for it. What are you calling me to do now? He's not calling you to go to church. He's not calling you to be a good husband or a good father or a good mother. That's your obligation. No, what is he calling you to do extravagant? Who is he calling you to go love? And yeah, there's a cost, but you know what? Pay. Incur. Because he paid the greatest cost possible. He sent Jesus to die for you. He knew there was a cost, and yet he paid it. And there was a price for your sin. He paid it. And so if you are right here, right now, never having committed your life to Christ, if that's what he's calling you to do, my goodness, do it right now. Will that incur a cost? You bet. Will it be the greatest journey you've ever gone on in your life? You bet. God is calling you. There is a cost. But I pray that you would commit to it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you gave us your son, Jesus. That we can revisit the miracle that you came to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. May we not lose that in the season. May we not forget that in the TV specials. May we not go past that as we buy gifts. But may we focus on the God of all creation that is you, came to earth as Jesus. May we focus on the miracle that is, the sacrifice that was. And then may our heart be nearly as burdened. One little bit as burdened for those who don't know you as your heart is burdened. And then may we go after them. May we love them, Lord. Show us. Open our eyes. Put names before us. Have us run into people, hopefully not literally, that you would want us to love on behalf of your gospel, your good news, that you love that person who feels unlovable. Father God, thank you that the cost is more than reasonable. We love you. We praise you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.